This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأزكى التسليم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you for joining us in the tafsir class. Today, inshallah, we will discuss tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha is the first ayah that we see in the Quran. Once you open the Quran, this is the first surah you find. And therefore, it is called Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha is unlike any other surah in the Quran. It has lots of virtues. Usually, if you wrote a book, if you started something important, you mention or you list the in the introduction, the important things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala included Surah Al-Fatiha at the beginning of the Quran for a reason. So this is an attempt, inshallah, today to fathom the depth of Surah Al-Fatiha, to try to understand more why it was mentioned at the beginning, what are the meanings that we can learn from Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha, it has many meanings and names. Al-Fatiha means the beginner, the opener, because it is at the beginning of the Quran. So it is called Al-Fatiha, the opener. Also of the meanings or of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha, Al-Kitab, the mother of the book. In Arabic, the mother of the thing is the thing that encounters other things, encompasses other things. Like they say about the head, the thick skin that covers the skull, it is called Ummur Ras, the mother of the head. Why? Because it covers the entire head. It is called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he called Mecca Ummul Qura. Why Mecca was called Ummul Qura? Again, for the same reason. It's like the master of the other villages and cities. So Surah Al-Fatiha is called also Ummul Quran or Ummul Kitab. Another name for Surah Al-Fatiha, As-Sab' Al-Mathani, the seven repeated ayat. As-Sab' Al-Mathani. So we learn from this hadith that Surah Al-Fatiha includes seven ayat. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمِ. We have certainly given you seven repeated ayat and the Quran. So it was mentioned in particular, Surah Al-Fatiha. This tells you that it is an important surah. In Arabic usually, or even in other languages, if you love something or if you have something important, you give it lots of names. In the Arabic culture, they love the horses. So they gave the horses many names, and they all for the same horse. The same thing with swords. They call it Husam, Muhannad, Sarim, and it is for sword. Even nowadays, in the Western culture, they drink alcohol, so they give it lots of names. Wine, beer, champagne, and all these names. Why? Because they love it. Surah Al-Fatiha has many names. This tells you that it is very important surah. One of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha, As-Salah. It is called As-Salah. Because of the hadith of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ. I divided the prayer into two halves. If my servant says, Alhamdulillah, once he says, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, Allah says, my servant has praised me. And so on. So, Surah Al-Fatiha is also called As-Salah. Of the virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha and of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha, As-Shifa, the cure. Surah Al-Fatiha is cure. Now we believe as Muslims that the entire Quran is cure. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That's what Allah says in the Quran. And we send down of the Quran that which is cure for people, for the believers. So the Quran in general is cure, and Surah Al-Fatiha in particular is cure. Why? Because there is an incident also at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he was traveling with a group of people, of the companions. And they passed by a tribe, and they asked to be hosted. They asked the right of the guest from this tribe, but they were not given that right. And the tribe were miser to give them the right of the guests, so the companions left. They were not hosted by this tribe. The people were mean. But in the night, now they did not go far, in the night one of the people of that tribe came to the companions, and he asked if they have someone who could give ruqya, who could give a cure. And he said that the chief of the tribe, he was bitten by a snake or by a scorpion. So Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, he recited Surah Al-Fatiha on that wound, on that injury, and the poison was going out and he was cured. So the man was cured by Surah Al-Fatiha, by reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. Of course, because the companions were not given the guest, the right of the guest, so they requested something in return for curing their chief. And they were given 40 sheep. But when they went back to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of the companions felt that it is not okay to take these sheep. So they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he approved it. And he also approved what Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu did. So it means that it is truly a ruqya. It means that it is a ruqya. It is cure. It is healing. This is for Surah Al-Fatiha. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, he only recited Surah Al-Fatiha and it was cure for that man, for the chief of that tribe. So this is another virtue for Surah Al-Fatiha, that it is a cure. Now some scholars also said that Surah Al-Fatiha is a pillar in the Salah, which means if you don't recite Surah Al-Fatiha in the Salah, your Salah is incorrect, it is null. And there is a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, كُلُّ صَلَاةٍ لَا يُقْرَأُ فِيهَا بِإِمُّ الْكِتَابِ فَهِيَ خِدَاجٍ. Any prayer that you don't recite in it Surah Al-Fatiha is incomplete, it is khidaj. Khidaj means incomplete. Some scholars derived the ruling that Surah Al-Fatiha is a pillar in the prayer. And this is another reason why we call Surah Al-Fatiha As-Salah. You read it and recite it in every rak'ah in the prayer. So according to some scholars, like the Shafi'i school of thought, it is a pillar of the prayer. If you don't read Surah Al-Fatiha in the Salah, your Salah is incorrect. This is the opinion of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah and Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. Some scholars said, only if you don't hear the Imam read it, like in Dhuhr or Asr prayer, you read Surah Al-Fatiha. But once the Imam reads, then his recitation is also recitation for you. So scholars differed, but this is the only surah that you recite in every single prayer. So if you pray every day, at least you have to read Surah Al-Fatiha 17 times. And this is not to any other surah, only to Surah Al-Fatiha. Now, one of the virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha as well, the hadith of Abu Sa'id ibn al-Mu'alla radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was praying in the masjid. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him. But he was praying, so he did not respond to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After he finished the prayer, he went and he said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I was praying. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, I will teach you the best surah in the Quran before we leave the masjid. When they were about to leave the masjid, he told the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you did not teach me the surah you promised me. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, Surah Al-Fatiha. It is the best surah in the Quran. So that's enough. The best surah in the Quran is Surah Al-Fatiha. This virtue by itself is enough. The same narration with different wordings happened to Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu. He was praying in the masjid and also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him. And when he finished the prayer, Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, do you want me to teach you a surah that there is no similar to it in the Torah, in the Gospel, or in the Zabur of Dawood? So Ubay radiallahu anhu said yes. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, Surah Al-Fatiha. By Allah, there is no similar to it, or Allah did not send down similar to it in the Torah or in the Injil or in the Zabur. So Surah Al-Fatiha is a unique surah indeed. Some scholars said all the meanings of the other books, all the commandments, all the regulations, the forbidden things, the lawful things were sent down in Al-Zabur, in Torah, in Al-Jil. They are all included in the Quran. And all the meanings in the Quran are included in Surah Al-Fatiha. So Surah Al-Fatiha is a global surah. Do not look at it as seven ayat only, but it is a global surah. So this is Surah Al-Fatiha. And we will start, inshallah, with the first issue of Surah Al-Fatiha, which is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Is it an ayah? Is it number one of Surah Al-Fatiha or not? We already discussed and we said that Surah Al-Fatiha is seven ayat. All scholars agreed Surah Al-Fatiha is seven ayat. Because the Messenger ﷺ himself said, As-Sab' al-Mathani. So it is seven ayat. But where does it start? Does it start from Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Or it starts from Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen? And the Basmala is not an ayah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Is it the first ayah or not? In the Shafi'i school of thought, they say it is the first ayah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Therefore, you have to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You have to start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Other scholars said Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not an ayah from Surah Al-Fatiha. Yes, it is an ayah from the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim as separation from or between the surahs. So once you finish one surah, you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and then you start the other surah. That's why it is mentioned at the beginning of the Quran. Other scholars said it is not an ayah from Surah Al-Fatiha nor from the Quran. It is just recommended to be said. So there are different opinions amongst the scholars whether Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is an ayah from the Quran or not. However, most of them agreed that it is better to be said, to be recited. Now again, reciting it, does it mean you pronounce it aloud or you say it silently in your heart? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Do you pronounce it or you start by saying it in your heart and then you start aloud, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen? Whoever said it is an ayah, they said it has to be said aloud. Like a Shafi in the school of thought of Imam Shafi rahimahullah. They say you have to pronounce it. You start by Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And they quote the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu started the salah and he recited Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And they asked him why he did that and he said this is the sunnah. The other hadith or the other schools of thought who said that you don't have to pronounce it. Yes, it's recommended to be said, but you don't pronounce it. They said, Anas radiallahu anhu, he said that I prayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman. All of them, they started the prayer with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So they said this is in both Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Anas radiallahu anhu, he did not quote the sunnah only from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also from Abu Bakr and Umar. So you don't pronounce Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So it is a controversial issue amongst the scholars. And Imam bin Kathir rahimahullah listed these ahadith, listed these opinions, and you have to read what he said about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So this is the fiqh issue, whether you pronounce it or not, but it is of course recommended to say it. You start by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, but you don't pronounce it. Or, according to the Shafi school of thought, you pronounce it as well. Now Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is recommended to be said always. The sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to start like when you eat, what do you say? The first thing you say when you eat? Bismillah. When you enter the masjid, what do you say? Bismillah. When you... anything, you do anything. When you write a letter, what do you say? Bismillah. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. Even with the kuffar in the contract, in the truce of Hudaybiyah, when they wrote down the terms, he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So Suhail, radiallahu anhu, before he becomes a Muslim, he was the negotiator with the Messenger ﷺ. He said, we don't know what you're saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But write instead, Bismikallahum. So it was written, Bismikallahum. So you start everything with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Even with your wife, even the husband and the wife, the two spouses, when they meet, they start with Bismillah. Everything. You start it with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So here, we have this ayah or this beginning of Surah Al-Fatiha, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What does it mean? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, we translate it to in the name of Allah. Bismillah. Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. Ar-Rahim, the most gracious. Or you could say the compassionate or any other meanings. So that's what you say in the name of Allah. Bismillah. So here you start in the name of Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now let's take a look at it. Let's say the translation is in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most gracious. That's the beginning. What do you do next? You move to the next ayah, which is what? Alhamdulillah. Are you with me or you're not with me? You say, in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most gracious. All praise is due to Allah. Now, is this a correct beginning? You start something, you start an essay, or you start a sermon by saying, in the name of Allah, and then you go on. What do you think? Yes? Yes? Well, the correct or the complete sentence, how does it start? Doesn't it start with the name, noun, or a verb? Here we don't have. We have what? Preposition? Do you understand what's going on here? Maybe because we say it always, we did not think about it. What do you think? In the name of Allah. Yes, we have an answer from the students. Abdullah said no. What does he mean? It is incorrect or it's correct? If you say no, it is not a good beginning or not correct, then what's the good beginning? How does it start? In the name of Allah, it implies actually something in it. So there is something which is not mentioned. In the name of Allah, just like in Arabic, Bismillah. In Arabic, it's incorrect to start with preposition. Jar and majrur, we say in Arabic. It's incorrect. You have to imply something. You have to imagine that there is something which is not mentioned. And here it is the same thing. In the name of Allah, it is as if you are saying, I start in the name of Allah. Or my beginning, my commence in the name of Allah. That's what's implied. That's what's omitted, which you have to understand from the saying, in the name of Allah. In Arabic, Bismillah, they say, أبدأ بسم الله. I start in the name of Allah. Or, بدايتي, my beginning in the name of Allah. So you have to imply whether a verb or a noun. My beginning or I begin. The same thing in Arabic. أبدأ بسم الله. So again, remember the meaning. Always when you start something, you start with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But as I told you, many people, they don't think of that meaning because it's always repeated, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah. So they don't really focus on the eloquence of this statement. There is something implied here. In the name of Allah means I start in the name of Allah, or my beginning, my commence in the name of Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman. Now Allah is the name of our Lord. And no one was called Allah. And some scholars discussed whether this word Allah, is it derived from a verb or it is a noun by itself? Is it from the word alaha, means abada, ma'luh, means worshipped, ma'bud. So it is Allah, the worshipped, or it is the name of our Lord. Sibawi, one of the scholars of Nahu, of grammar, Arabic grammar, when he came to the word Allah to define it, he said there is no need to define Allah. There is no definition. It's the most known thing. And it's very difficult to define something which is known. Now if I asked you to define the sun, what do you say? What's the definition of the sun? big ball of gas? You could have any big ball of gas. What's the definition of water? Something you drink? You drink lots of things. You see, it's difficult. So he said, it's obvious. There is no need to define Allah because He is the Lord. أَعْرَفُ الْمَعَارِفِ. So this is the word Allah. Other scholars said Allah is derived from Alaha, means Abada. So Allah is the worshipped. Either way, no one was called the name Allah, but the true God. Therefore, even the non-Muslims, the Arabs, the non-Muslims, they don't call the false gods Allah. It's only for the true God. Even the Jews, the Christians, and the pagans. Like, even the Arab at the time of the Messenger, they may call Hubal ilah, or Uzza, Lat, but they don't call them Allah, because Allah goes always directly to the true God. So this is a unique thing for the name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very light and very sweet that you don't feel it. You say Allah lots of times a day. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah or wa anna Muhammadan Abduhu Rasuluh. Bismillah. It's very sweet and nice name. Any other word you say it in Arabic, if you repeat it, you will feel it, except Allah. And some scholars also said it's the greatest name, that if you ask Allah by it, if you ask Allah by this name, you will be granted. So this is the word Allah. Then, Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, the most gracious, Ar-Rahim, or the compassionate. What's the meaning or what's the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim? They overlap. Both of them are derived from one meaning, which is Rahmah, from the mercy. Ar-Rahman, Rahman from Rahmah, Rahim from Rahmah also. They are both taken from the description Rahmah, mercy. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. Allah sent down on earth one part of the mercy. The mercy was divided to 100 shares. Allah sent down only one. All the creatures, human beings, animals, all creatures, they share this one Rahmah. And 99 mercy, 99 divisions, shares of Rahmah are kept for the Day of Judgment. For the people. On the Day of Judgment. So this is the Rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says, وَرَحْمَةِ وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy has encompassed all things. So Rahmah, these names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, they are derived from mercy. But they say Ar-Rahman is more merciful than Ar-Rahim. It is general mercy. So you could say, in the name of Allah, the generally merciful, and the merciful in particular, Ar-Rahim. They say Ar-Rahman means for everybody. It is for the disbelievers. Because even the disbelievers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows mercy to them. Otherwise, they would not be given a sip of water, a dollar to spend. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for them, and He gave them lots of things. This is out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this goes to this name, this attribute, Ar-Rahman. While Ar-Rahim, it is a special mercy for the believers only. Allah says, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And He was with the believers, رَحِيمًا. He did not say, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحْمَانًا. So scholars said, Rahman is more general. It is bigger than Ar-Rahim. Both of them are similar, but Ar-Rahman for everybody, and Ar-Rahim for the believers. Also, this meaning was discussed by Ibn Kathir rahimahullah in the book. So this is the meaning of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, we're moving to the first ayah, or the second ayah, according to some scholars. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Now, if you read most of the translations, what do they say about this word, Alhamdulillah? What's the meaning of this word, Alhamdulillah? thank God. Hamd is thank. But praise. What's the difference between thank and praise? What do you think? Also, when you say praise, is that true? Tell me, now someone asked you. Someone came to you and told you, you read Alhamdulillah. What's the meaning? What do you tell him? What's the meaning of Alhamdulillah? Tell me. All praises are due to Allah. Why you say all praises? Al, exactly, very good. Al, in Arabic, it has a meaning. Al means all. All. They say al here means lil istighraq. Sometimes al uses for used for different meanings in Arabic. Once, inshallah, you study Arabic, once you know these types of al, you know the differences. Here, al means all. All praises. However, even this translation is incomplete, insufficient. When you say all praises, why? Here's the answer. Now, when you praise someone, does it mean you necessarily love him? Kings. Yeah, exactly, the kings. You may praise the kings to take their money. You may praise someone to avoid his evil, right? Is that applied here? No. Can you say, I praise Allah without loving him? In Arabic, praise by itself means madh. Madh. Madh, to praise someone. Madahtuhu. I praise him. While hamd is something bigger than praise. Hamd includes praise and includes love. Includes many things. Appreciation. But most importantly, it includes love. Means that you are truly praising him. Not for any purpose. Only for love. To admit that he deserves it. So that's an additional meaning for Alhamdu. All praises with love, all praises with thanks also. Now in Arabic we differentiate between hamd and shukr. Hamd to praise, while shukr to thank. And also this difference is discussed in the book. You go back and you see what Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentioned. Alhamdulillah. So it is not praise be to Allah. This is incorrect. All praises with love are due to Allah. Rabbil Alameen. Rabb. What's the meaning of Rabb? Lord. Lord of the worlds. Now, when someone says, I am the Lord of this place, I am the landlord, if it's a big place, you feel it is a huge thing. What about all the worlds? Lord of the worlds. We have many worlds. The world of human beings, the world of jinn, the world of angels, the world of devils, the world of animals. All these worlds, who's their Lord? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lord of the worlds. So if there is someone who could claim that he is Lord of something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of all the worlds. He's the true Lord. Now your lordship in this life, even if you had any type of lordship, it is very insignificant. Because you may possess only the ownership of this house for a limited number of years. Before that, it was for someone else. It was maybe for your parents or for someone else that you purchased from. And later on, it will be taken from you when you die. While the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is eternal. It is real. That's the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once you hear that, Lord of the worlds, Rabbil Alameen. Then again Allah says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So do not think, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of all things, all worlds, He is still Rahman and Rahim. He is still with mercy. Unlike other people, if they had little bit extra money, they transgress. They grow arrogant. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. So it is suitable, after Allah mentioned that He is the Lord of the worlds, He mentioned that he is still Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Maliki Yawmiddin. Maliki, what's the meaning of Maliki? Maliki. Owner, master. Malik is the owner. Again, the ownership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is real. Is real. Which means you can do whatever you want. Allah, no one can ask him why he did this. وَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمُ لَا مُعَقِّبُ لِحُكْمِ. Now, your ownership, let's say you own a house. Don't you have to pay taxes? If you wanted to do something in your own house, you cannot do it without permit from the city or the state or whatever. While, who could dare to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala why he did this? Allah is the true owner. Maliki yawmiddin. The owner. Now again, he is the owner of what?
Everything.
No, in this ayah, he is the owner of Day of Judgment. He already said he is the Lord of all the worlds. Now he's reminding you that he is the owner of the Day of Judgment. First, because he already said that he is the owner, the Lord of the worlds. Now, why Yawm al-Din is mentioned in particular? Why Yawm al-Din is mentioned in particular?
Because that day others won't be able to do anything.
On that day, no one can claim that he has any type of ownership. Now people may claim that I own this, I own that, I possess, I have this possession. But on the Day of Judgment, no one will dare to say, I have any type of ownership. Therefore Allah will call on people, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. Ownership belongs to whom on this day? And no one will answer. Allah would say, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. To Allah, the One, the Irresistible. So, this day in particular was mentioned because no one on that day will dare to say, I have any type of position. Now, another recitation for this ayah, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Malik means owner. There is another recitation. It says, مَلِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Malik. What's the meaning of Malik?
King.
King. So this is the beauty of the qira'at. And inshallah, next class, we will discuss the qira'at. Malik, king. So we have now king and we have owner. Both of them, now they are similar, but still there is some difference. When you say, I am the owner, is different than I am the king. Now, sometimes you may be the king, but you cannot own or you don't do anything you want. Yes, you are the king. You are the highest person. Just like in some countries where the king, he has some status of authority, but he cannot do everything. So he is not really the owner. The king of the state does not mean he is the owner of the state. While when you read the ayah, Allah is the king and he is also the owner. And again, he is the king when? He is the king of kings on the Day of Judgment. Nowadays, you hear this is the king, his highness the king or whatever. On the Day of Judgment, they are all slaves except Allah. He is the true king. Because he is the king on that day. On the day that no one will dare to say, I am even a king or I have even any type of authority. So that's why there is wisdom behind mentioning the Day of Judgment. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Malik and Malik. If you notice, the true writing of Malik without alif, it is Mim, Lam, Kaf. And we will take this also next semester, inshallah, when we study the script, why it was written in this way, to accommodate all the qira'at. And this is one of the meanings. Look how I wrote it, Malik. Mim, Lam, Kaf. If you say Malik, after the Mim, you put small, like this, small, here, Malik, it becomes Malik. So that's the Uthmani script. And this is again another miracle of the Quran. That all the qira'at are included. You write one word and it includes all the qira'at. Malik and Malik. Maliki Yawm al-Din and Maliki Yawm al-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. What's the translation again? Or what's the meaning of إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين? Who could tell me?
Only we seek your help.
Only we seek your help. That's the second portion.
Oh, we only worship you.
Only?
We only worship. Yes.
إياك نعبد. Now remember, it starts with the object instead of starting with the subject. Instead of saying I worship you, it is you alone we worship. إياك نعبد. That's the translation, that's the meaning. You alone we worship. Now what's the difference? What if you say نعبدك, we worship you, or I worship you? What's the difference? When you say, I worship you, that's true, you worship him. But maybe you worship him and something else. That's what the Arab did. They worshipped Allah and they associated partners with Allah. While here, when you say, إياك نعبد, you alone we worship. It means that we don't worship anything else. That's the advantage of saying, إياك نعبد. You alone we worship. Yes. Yes, bazigha. It's negation. It's negation of worshipping anything else. But it's also affirmation. It's affirming the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iyaka na'bud. Now be careful when you read Surah Al-Fatiha. Iyaka, there is shadda. Ya, iyaka. Some people say iyaka. You notice the difference? Iyaka and iyaka. Iyaka is the light of the sun. So imagine if someone saying, the light of the sun we worship. It is kufr, it is disbelief. So you have to be careful, especially when you read Surah Al-Fatiha, especially in the prayer. According to the scholars who say it is a pillar, anything you miss in the pillar, consequently will invalidate your entire prayer. So you have to say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Again, the same thing. You alone we seek for help, or we ask for help. Now again, some scholars said all the meanings of the Quran are included in Surah Al-Fatiha, and all the meanings of Surah Al-Fatiha are included in this ayah, in these two words, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You alone we worship. Because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for. We're created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That's the secret of creation. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the meanings are going around these two words. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So you alone we worship and you alone we seek or we ask for help. إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. إِهْدِنَا, guide us. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط, صراط is the straight path. صراط. And it has another word. الصراط. سين and صاد. اهدنا الصراط and اهدنا الصراط. It is the same thing. Again, it is a قراءة. It's another narration. اهدنا الصراط and اهدنا الصراط. Actually, there is a third recitation. اهدنا الصراط. It is a dialect, but it is the same word. Sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path. Guide us to the straight path. Now, what does it mean really? What can you tell me about this ayah? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Any thoughts? What do you learn from it? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim.
Don't go.
Tell me. I need a full sentence. Yes. Yes, what do you have?
Abdullah says we should ask for the straight path and protection from
Okay, now listen. One of them said we must ask for protection and guidance. The other one, we should continually seek guidance. You notice there is a slight difference. Now when you say you ask guidance for protection and you continuously ask for guidance. Now, I already said that in every prayer you have to say Surah Al-Fatiha. You have to read it. So, isn't it enough to read it one time? Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. Why? Aren't you already guided? Now this is another question. Aren't you already guided? Are you guided or not? Hope so. You're not sure if you're guided or not? Isn't it? Which means Islam, you suspect Islam? What do you think? Aren't people guided to Islam if they believed in Islam? Aren't they guided?
Maybe you don't check.
Hmm? Yeah. They are guided to Islam. But is it the full guidance? That's the question. It may not be full. Maybe you are guided, but you're not granted the steadfastness on this path. So all these meanings are included here. This is a very beautiful ayah. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. First, guide us to the straight path. Also, keep us on that straight path. Keep us. Grant us steadfastness on that straight path. Because they say it is difficult to be guided, but it's more difficult to remain guided. They give the example of guidance like climbing a mountain. Every time you go up, what will happen? It is more difficult. While deviating, going astray is very easy, going downhill. So it is very difficult to seek or to get the guidance. That's why guidance here, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, grant us steadfastness and keep us on the straight path. Grant us increment in the guidance. Increment, increasing you. Because once you ask Allah for guidance, you're guided already, so you ask for more guidance. Because you need guidance always. Guidance is a general term. It includes the religious and the worldly things as well. Maybe you ate this, but maybe that meal was better for you. How do you know? You had two job offers, and you did not know which one to choose. When you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide us to the straight path, you will be given guidance, inshallah. So all these meanings are included. It is very important ayah. Always you need the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa used to pray to Allah always. Allahumma rabba Jibra'il wa Israfil wa Mika'il, fatir as-samawati wal-ard, alim al-ghaybi wa shahada, anta tahkumu bayna ibadika fima hum fihi yakhtalifun, ihdini lima akhtulifa fihi min al-haqqi bi-idhnik. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the perfect human being, he used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. Because people differ, always. We may differ on very simple things or huge things. You have differences with your own brother, with your own sister, in your own family. Which one is the correct opinion? Which one you should follow? By asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guidance. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So this is a great ayah. Guidance is really important. And scholars, they divided guidance. Like the messengers and the prophets, they have guidance. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And you indeed guide to a straight path. So this is the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the messengers and the prophets, that they show the people. And we are commanded to follow them, to follow the messengers, to tell the people. When we tell them, we're guiding them by telling them this is correct and this is wrong. But there is another guidance that pertains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. As Allah says, telling the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ. You don't guide whom you love. But it is Allah who guides whom He wills. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. So in one ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And you indeed guide to the straight path. And in another ayah, Allah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't guide whom you love. But it is Allah who guides whom He wills. So you need to know that guidance is a very broad term. It includes many things. There are types of guidance. that does not pertain even to human beings. It includes also animals. Birds, when they fly from during the seasons, from the cold weather to the warm weather. Who told them? Who gave them that guidance? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who told the baby to seek the milk from his mother's breast? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a very complicated process. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught it to that child. So there are many types of guidance. Guidance for insects, guidance for animals, birds, young children, and guidance for adults, for human beings. There is guidance on the Day of Judgment as well, in paradise. When the people of paradise enter paradise, they will say, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَ لِهَذَا. Praise be to Allah who guided us to this. So they are guided to their houses. They told the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the companions asked him, how will we know our houses in paradise? And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them, you will know them more than you know your houses in this life. You know your ranks in paradise once you go there, more than you know your places here in this life. This is guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are many types of guidance. So this is اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. The path of those on whom you bestowed your grace or your blessing. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. So every time, every prayer, every rak'ah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the straight path, the path of those on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His grace. غير المغضوب. Now, غير المغضوب عليهم. But before that, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. Who they are? Who are those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed His grace upon? Who are they? Is it the most rich people? The strongest people? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to become stronger, to become wealthier. Who are they?
The prophets.
The prophets only? No? What's the evidence? It is the prophets. Do we have... Okay, what do we have? Those that obey Allah. So anyone who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given the grace, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His grace upon him. What's the evidence? We need evidences. Now, yes, that's correct. Bazia Surah Al-An'am, and in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listed four types of people. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then what will happen to him? He will be with those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His grace upon. Of. So those are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His grace upon them. Who they are? من النبيين. Prophets and messengers. والصديقين. Siddiqeen, the truthful people. The people who say the truth, who don't lie. The sincere people. والشهداء, the martyrs. والصالحين. And the righteous, the pious people. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. So these are four types of the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His grace upon them. So again, we interpret the Quran with the Quran itself. So this ayah is mentioned in general, and the interpretation is mentioned in two other places, in Surah Al-An'am and in Surah At-Tawbah. Okay, now when you ask guidance, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, also you ask Him to avoid the other path, the other routes. غير المغضوب عليهم. Not. So you ask for a straight path. You don't ask for those who earned your anger. غير المغضوب عليهم. Not that of those who earned your anger. Who are those who earned the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? غير المغضوب عليهم. Who earns the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Disbelievers. Do you have any evidence? There are many ayat in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ غَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Those are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with. But here, the Messenger ﷺ himself, and again, the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is another way to interpret the Quran. He said, غير المغضوب عليهم اليهود, the Jews. Part of the Jews, they earned the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But why? The reason is very important. Why they earned the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because they knew the truth and they concealed it. Whoever knew the truth and he concealed it, he did not apply it, he did not work according to it, then he deserves the anger, he earns the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why some scholars said whoever knew the truth, yet he did not follow it, he has similarity to the Jews. And he deserves the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we say it includes the Jews, that does not mean it excludes everybody else. Whoever did the same thing, he deserves the same result. So you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day, 17 times at least, for guidance. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to avoid knowing the truth, yet not working according to it. Again, this is a great dua. You are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always. The Prophet ﷺ, he used to say, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna tiba'ah. Show us the truth as it is, truth. And grant us following it. Because some people, they know. That's the correct way, but they don't like to follow it. Juha, one of the characters in Arabic folklore, he lost his keychain. And he was searching for it. People came and they saw him and they said, what are you looking for? He said, my keys. I lost my keychain. And they started searching with him for hours and hours. They did not find it. And one of them asked, did you lose it here? He said, no, I lost it there. And they said, why then you are looking for it here? He said, because there is light here. It's easier. For some people, they know where is the truth, but they don't follow it. For a reason or another. So we don't want to be like them. غير المغضوب عليهم. Those are the people who earns the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know the truth, yet they don't follow it. ولا الضالين. Again, another group of people. Nor of those who went astray. Who went astray? Who are those who went astray? النصارى. Again, the Prophet ﷺ said, the Christians, some of the Christians, they went astray. Why? Because they did not know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge, they say he has similarity to the Christians. He is similar to them. But that again does not mean only the Christians. They are dalin. Only the Christians, they went astray. Anyone who did not know the truth and he is guessing or he's worshipping without knowledge, then he also of those people who went astray. Waladbalin. So basically you learn from this surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divided people to how many groups? 73? Do we have 73 ayah? How many groups do we have according to this surah? Yes. Three, very good, Abdullah. What are they? People whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His grace upon, people who earned the anger of Allah, and people who went astray. Three types. Again, that's tafsir. That's how you learn how to do tafsir. You always try to analyze, to read. After you say this, now this is the end of the surah, what do you say? وَلَضَّالِينَ. What do you say? I cannot hear you. Ameen. Yeah. Why you say this? Why you say Ameen? What's the meaning of Ameen? What's the meaning of Ameen? Oh, Allah accept. Istajib. That's the meaning of Ameen. But do you have to say it? It is strongly recommended. What's the reward if you say it? What's the reward if you say Ameen? The Messenger ﷺ said, whoever says Ameen and his saying matches the saying of the angels in heavens, you are saying Ameen on earth and the angels are saying Ameen, all your sins are forgiven. This is in Sahih Bukhari. All your sins are forgiven. Only by saying this, if you say Ameen. Also, in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the Jews did not envy you on things most than envying you on saying the salam and saying Ameen. The most two things that the Jews envy us for are those two things, saying the salam and saying Ameen. Because that means it is two great things. So saying Ameen is a great thing. So you should not leave it. Always after you say Walad Dalin, you say Ameen. This is the reward. And with this, inshallah, we will conclude our session with Tafsir Surah Al-Fatiha. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.